Coach Talks, Coaching em Ação, um podcast de Madalena Sutcliffe.
Hi, this is Madalena Sutcliffe, and I just had an incredibly interesting and super insightful conversation with Bryony O'Kane, a coach who's working with Tony Robbins. And we were talking about a number of health and mindset hacks that you will not want to miss out on. By the time you've finished listening to this episode, you're going to understand so much of human behavior is habitual and operates below conscious awareness. And when we identify patterns that do not serve us, we can actually start to change that. Bryony O'Kane is an international results coach working on Tony Robbins' team of coaches, and she is also a certified health and transformational coach by the Health Coach Institute, as well as a certified rapid transformational therapy practitioner, which is a form of hypnotherapy by Marissa Peer. Before working with Tony Robbins on his team of coaches, Bryony trained and worked as a coach for the Health Coach Institute Empowered Education in Australia, an institution that offers coaching programs accredited by the ICF. She was actually the first coach in Australia to work for the company, where she coached people that were on their journey to becoming a coach. Bryony has a 13-year corporate background in recruitment and digital marketing in London and in Sydney. And when she was 30 years old, she founded her own company, FreshFix, a prepackaged healthy meal delivery company. Bryony is 40 years old. She was born and raised in the UK, but moved to Sydney, Australia when she was 24 years old, and where she lived for 13 years, even though it was only supposed to be a 3-month visit, and where she began her coaching career 7.5 years ago. For the past 3 years, Bryony has been based in sunny Portugal. Bryony, it is such a joy to have you here today. I'm excited for you to share your journey and your insights with our audience. So let me kick things off with this question. Your journey from recruitment and digital marketing to founding your own healthy food company and then eventually becoming a coach is really, really inspiring. So what was the key turning point or realization that led you to pursue coaching, and how did your path evolve into what it is today?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you and have this conversation. So the turning point was I had founded the business FreshFix, and the point of it was I was very passionate about helping people. Mm-hmm. And what I found through that process is that I was incredibly stressed. I was burnt out, and I was taking care of other people. I was running this business, but I wasn't taking care of myself. And so it got to a point where I realized it wasn't sustainable. And I think it's great that people want to, like, I wanted to help other people. Yeah. But at what point was I going to take care of myself as well? So I still knew that my purpose was very much around helping others. So I started to do some research and think, how can I still help people but not have to make hundreds of meals, not have to run around, deliver it? You know, I knew I could change things in the business and get more support, but I didn't think it was actually what I wanted to do mm-hmm. longer term, in the sense of how it would affect my life. And so I started searching, and I found coaching, and I had no idea. I'd heard of Tony Robbins, but I found a program of his, and then I found health coaching. And to me, that was the missing piece mm-hmm. where I could help people on their health journey, and I could also help myself because, as I said, I was stressed. I was burnt out. And so with the Health Coach Institute, they're very much about first yourself, then others. So how can we model what we're helping others with? So on that journey, I was very much my first client and learned how to manage my stress, how to feel fulfilled again, and yeah, take care of myself.
Yeah. So yours is a true story of walking the talk, right?
Yes.
I think it was John Maxwell that said, you can't lead others if you don't lead yourself first, right? So you can't really help others with what you haven't learned yourself first. So you learned how to manage your emotional state, get over that stress, find your fulfillment when you found this health coaching and coaching training. Is that...
Completely. I was blown away. I was a very good student, in the sense I just couldn't get enough of yeah. the information I was learning for myself, but also knowing that how many other people would struggle with this and that I could help them. And so rather than before, it was very much about helping feed them in a healthy way. Now it was really looking at how can I help them change their habits and change their behavior, which when you can do that, it really, it helps transform everything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you spent, I think it was 3 years training with the Health Coach Institute in Australia, right? So you started 1 year in health coaching and then followed by 2 years focused on their transformational coaching method. And after you completed your training, you then became the first coach there in Australia to work for that institute. And you were coaching hundreds of people who were on their path to becoming coaches themselves. And then a few years later, you joined Tony Robbins' team of coaches. So looking back on this journey, what are some of the most powerful life-changing insights that you've gained that have shaped your coaching approach today?
So when I reflect, there's obviously so many.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, it started with health, but then I started to delve deeper into the mindset and understanding that. And Tony talks about this psychology. It's 80% psychology, 20% mechanics. So I became very interested in how I can help people really transform their mindset. And so in terms of life-changing experiences, like what I've taken from it is, like there's so many, but what's coming to mind is the first is really being able to prioritize your own needs as much as anyone else's. So it's, as I said, it's great to be able to want to make a difference in the lives of others, but it's like, how can you make sure that you're valuing yourself as much as other people? Another one is to do with the subconscious mind. So one thing I learned, and I continuously come back to this, is our behavior is 95% of our behavior is driven by our subconscious. So there's so much that we're not aware of. And coaching really helped me to look beneath what I was aware of, to bring it into the light so that I could start to change my behaviors and help others do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's realizing that so much of how we behave is based on conditioning and what we're not even aware of. So it's like I always come back to that. That leads me to the other part, which is our beliefs create our reality, mm-hmm. and our reality confirms our belief. And when our reality isn't necessarily how we want it to be, it's given us evidence that confirms our beliefs that are maybe creating that reality. And so it's a very tricky one. What do you change first, right? If your reality is showing you one thing, how do we start to go within and change our beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I continuously come back to, and I work with clients over and over again to go, okay, I understand your experience in X, but let's actually look a bit deeper to understand what you're believing. And this isn't to blame anyone for what they're experiencing, but what do you believe in that's causing that reality, that experience? So I think it's this journey is very much an inner journey, and the external is just reflecting back to us what we might need to work on and change.
Absolutely. You know, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right, right? Henry Ford said that. Very
yeah.
simple way. So that takeaway that our behavior or the subconscious mind controls 95% of what we do, I believe it was Bruce Lipton's research, a neuroscientist, and our conscious decisions only shape 5% of what we do, right?
It's crazy, yeah.
So as you said, a huge part is driven by subconscious patterns, languages, language stories we tell ourselves, and these are often formed before the age of 10,
mm-hmm.
right? So what you're saying is, I love that, so your outer reality is reflecting your inner reality and you have to dive deep. And I just think about if you're in traffic, right? And those automatic reactions when you may intend to stay calm, but your subconscious reaction overrides that. And so coaching, as you're saying, is when you understand that, you bring awareness to those beliefs or those limiting patterns, and then you can start changing that, right?
Completely. And I think you said such a key thing then of awareness.
Yeah.
Like so much of coaching is awareness and having someone else help, like shine the light on that, essentially. Yes, we can do it ourselves, but when you have someone external, they see things that we won't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're in the game of life, right?
Completely.
Yes. So coaching clearly transformed your life in powerful ways. And I'm just going to make a comment to your first answer. It really sounded like when you found health coaching, you fell in love, like you found it. I love Steve Jobs. I've quoted him many times. As with all matters of the heart, we know it when we find it. Was that the experience for you? Like when, because you've been through recruitment, digital marketing, and then founding your own company and then coaching. Was that what you felt? This is it?
Completely.
Yes.
Because back then as well, and I know in certain areas, coaching is still relatively new, but back then it was just like sports coaching, or people just weren't aware of it, and I wasn't either. So I remember that moment when I was like, this is a potential career. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do this. And it was, yeah, I fell in love with that moment. And it was a moment where I can't even remember how I found the Health Coach Institute. It was just on my screen, on my computer. I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It really spoke to your heart, and you've never looked back.
No.
So we see that coaching, of course, transforms your life from where you were to where you are. And I want to understand a little bit deeper, how did it impact you personally and professionally? So what kind of clients are you working with today? What kind of work do you do?
Yeah. So how it impacted me was my relationship with myself was huge. And what I mean by that is how I spoke to myself. Like, we all have self-talk. Mine back then was, I was probably very critical. I would push myself. I would be harsh on myself because I thought that's what you do. That's how you get results.
Yeah.
So I really learned how to transform that self-judgment in a sense to self-compassion. Like, that was a big thing of how can I be kinder to myself yet still move forward. And I think in today's society, some people can think, okay, we have to be judgmental in order to reach our goals. And that's just not the case. It's just that's exactly a learned behavior.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of my journey. The other was transforming, as I mentioned, being super stressed, burnt out. At the time, I wasn't taking care of myself. And so I learned to really understand myself on a deeper level to change those behaviors. So that I wasn't, say, turning to food when I was stressed, but I'm like, something is happening here. How can I be present with that emotion and not have to turn to something external to help me through it? What else? I mean, there's been many things. In terms of professionally, I had no idea that I was going to work for the Health Coach Institute. That, I remember that moment as well, the director reaching out, and it was just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because I had been coached by a coach who worked for them. And then, yeah, it was just a wonderful experience to be able to be immersed in that level of coaching, to get extra training, to coach that volume of people, because I believe in quality over quantity. But when you start something, you've got to get in there and do it. And it's
build the muscle.
Exactly. It's that repetition.
Yeah.
And they said that to me. They're like, you'll come in and your coaching is just going to exponentially grow because of the situation you're being put in, that you're coaching a lot of people in a short space of time. So that was a real blessing. And then to work for Tony Robbins, who, like I said, he was the first person I saw or started to coach with in the sense of to do his program.
Yeah.
And then for it to go full circle and for me to start to work for him was, again, I didn't know it wasn't really a dream, but a kind of a dream came true.
Yes.
That I wasn't aware of, if that makes sense.
And so with Tony, what kind of clients are you coaching?
So with Tony, we are trained to coach anyone, anywhere, right? As I mentioned, the 80% psychology, 20% mechanics. And so my clients, they vary. It can be business owners, it can be people that want to work on their health. Others I work with in terms of them really being able to understand their emotions and how that drives them. So it's very broad in the sense of what I... So it's really about meeting that client where they are and helping them essentially bridge the gap from where they want to be.
Yeah.
From where they are to where they want to be.
Yes.
And then in my own... With the hypnotherapy and coaching in my own practice, it's very much a similar journey to what I've been on, in the sense of I really help people have a healthier relationship with themselves. It's like, what is their self-talk like? How are they managing their emotions so that they can be more confident, increase their level of self-worth? So it's really them valuing themselves and being able to speak up and be true to who they are versus what they've learned over the years and who they think they need to be.
Yeah. And always with a goal in mind, of course. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you're trained to coach anyone. Of course, I worked for Tony as well, because you're focusing on the mindset, right? And that's not really client or niche specific. And it sounds like you're doing incredible work, Bryony, that you've worked with dozens, probably hundreds of, well, I'm sure, hundreds of clients. And of course, I have to say this because that's going to take a lot of time and organization. I would invite you to consider using my coach platform, an online platform, coaching platform, which will streamline everything for you. Scheduling, tracking goals, sending your clients a login, organizing your business. So it will allow you to impact your scale, your impact, and stay organized. Let's talk a little bit about health coaching. Right. So specifically health coaching. And as a certified health coach who has worked with hundreds of clients over the years, what are the key habits or the key practices that you've found actually lead to lasting health transformations?
So I think the biggest thing when starting out on many journeys, but especially health, is realizing that it's about the journey and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. So I've had so many clients where, for example, if we're talking about health, they want to start exercising more often. They're not exercising at all, which is absolutely fine. But then for them to decide, okay, I'm going to exercise 5 times a week now, it's like going from 0 to 100. And so many times it's like, that's great. And what if we pulled it back a little?
Yeah.
What if we started with 2, 3 times? And I've been there. It's like we want to sometimes, what is it, run before
we walk
before we can
run before we walk,
whatever it is. And so I think it's being realistic with yourself and just focusing on the progress and going, okay, I don't need to change everything today, but I'm going to change this one thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's that steady consistency which actually leads to the results versus I'm going to go all in, this all or nothing behavior or mentality. Mm-hmm. And then you either burn out or it's not sustainable. So I think that's the biggest thing is like, how can I, and Tony talks about this, the 2 millimeter shift.
Yeah.
Because often we think it's not enough.
Yeah.
But actually that then prevents us from doing anything sometimes. So it's like slow and steady. I learned a lot about, progress over perfection, because we can often have that where it's like that perfectionist in us. So changing that. The other is the mind loves what's familiar and hates what's unfamiliar. So whenever we're starting something new, it's going to be unfamiliar. So it's, again, leads into that first point of slow and steady. Let's make the unfamiliar more familiar. And then we can kind of build up from there. And then one other thing I would say is why do you want it in the first place, right? How can we get really clear on that emotional drive behind the result that you want?
Yeah.
Because you've got to want it more than your current reality. And sometimes people think, but I do, but there's comfort in the current reality. Because it's familiar.
Yeah.
So it's like linking as much emotion behind it, like really feeling it in your body. So it's not just a mindset thing. It's also like, how's it going to feel when I achieve that goal? Who am I going to be? Why does it matter to me? So that's what's driving your behavior versus old familiar ways.
Yeah. So a very clear outcome, but also a very clear why, right? So that people are really invested in what they're doing. And then the strategy, as you say, take it 1% or 2 millimeter shifts.
Yeah.
It's the little things consistently done, right?
Completely. And just on that, this seems so simple, but to pause, right? When we are like that old behavior is still there and like we're just, again, the subconscious is ruling that. When you go to like grab the food or whatever it is, like just pause in that moment and like check in with yourself, connect in with yourself, because it's just a behavior. when you pause, you're almost breaking that pattern. You're checking in with yourself. It's like, do I really want this? Is this going to get me closer to my goal? So there's a lot to be said for just pause.
Yeah, there's some great questions to ask yourself when you pause, right?
Yeah.
Powerful questions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the coach, a health coach, as an accountability buddy, right, keeping you accountable for what you committed to is also a very important piece to that.
Completely.
Especially in health, I don't know, I would say.
Completely. But it's, when we say we're going to do something and commit to someone else, for some reason, the follow through is so much higher.
Yeah.
It's like, for whatever reason, and there's many reasons, but accountability is huge. And then also, if you don't follow through, having someone ask the questions, not like you're wrong, but let's understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Is it unrealistic expectations? Is it that you're not planning ahead? Whatever it might be, but help that person to understand why they're not following through with something that is incredibly important to them.
Yeah. And either remove that mental block or perhaps adjust the strategy, right? Make
Completely.
It more realistic.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, well, you did talk a little bit about hypnotherapy in your own practice, because of course you are a certified rapid transformational therapy practitioner. And of course, while hypnotherapy is distinct from coaching, how do you find it complements the work you do in helping people shifting their, you know, deep-seated beliefs or their patterns?
So hypnotherapy, when I look at the two, hypnotherapy is going into the past. It's the type I do. There is a regression where it's really getting to the root cause of whatever the person is dealing with right now. So we're working directly with the subconscious mind. And so, as we were saying, the 95% of our behavior. So it's very, very powerful to understand what's happening in my reality today was often learned many, many years ago. So we're able to go back to that. We can't change what's happened in someone's lives, but we can change the meaning that we've attached to it. Yeah. And we might not even be aware of that. And then often there can be emotions or things that need to be released. So it's very much we're addressing all of that so that then we can change the meaning and move forward. So it's not about living in the past, but it's just having an understanding. And then with coaching, it's that forward movement and okay, what is it that you want and how can we get you there? So the way they complement each other is one, it's like we're going right to the root cause, and then the coaching comes in to help integrate these new beliefs, this new identity that you're now wanting to step into. So they go really nicely hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's like past, present, and then being able to move forward with the assistance of someone supporting you.
It's almost like one picks up where the other one left off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, thank you for making the distinction, a very clear distinction, because coaching is coaching. It's a different thing, right? And it is about moving forward and creating actionable steps toward future goals. But it's a very interesting that you have, or it's great that you have that additional certification. Final question, Bryony. What is one tool or technique that you want to share with listeners today so that they can apply it right now to start fostering positive changes in their lives?
Okay. Many tools. One of my favorites is something called mental rehearsal.
Yeah.
And it's to my point, what I've, I think, spoken about during this is the subconscious and our mind loving what's familiar. And so with mental rehearsal, our mind doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination. So why this is powerful is if the mind also doesn't like what's unfamiliar, we're able to mentally rehearse to make something familiar. So what is mental rehearsal? It's like we're always rehearsing in a sense, like we're often worried about like the what ifs.
Yeah.
What if this happens? What if that happens? And really put enough time into, well, what if the opposite were true?
Yeah.
What if you can have what you desire? And so a mental rehearsal is really you being able to envisage like, what do I want, and see yourself already doing it. So it's important that it's ideally it's not in the future, that it's you're already imagining it as if it's in the past, like you've already done it, or in the present. And so you can close your eyes and you can do this, or I find it powerful to write it down. Like, what is something that you want? And how would you feel if you had it? How did you show up? Let's just say public speaking, for example, if you're afraid of it or whatever, it's like, okay, how do you want to feel? You mm-hmm. want to feel confident, empowered. So rehearse you actually showing up and doing it, feeling the way that it feels, like celebrating yourself. And you can read it each day. You can close your eyes and experience it. But a powerful time to do it is right before you go to sleep.
I was going to ask you that. So yeah. How do you do it?
So I do it, I think, when you go to sleep and in the morning. You can do it anytime. So mm-hmm. let's not get too rigid on when. But the yeah. most powerful time is right before you sleep, because you then have however long you sleep for, 7-8 hours, where that's just going deep, planting seeds into the subconscious.
Yeah.
And what a nice way to fall asleep.
Yeah.
That you're really feeling what it feels like to experience what you want to experience. And then it's a really nice way to start the day, because you're activating these feelings within not only your body, but you're also like rewiring your mind, creating these new neural pathways to start to experience
yeah.
more of what you want. So it can be done with anything. And I think it's just a really good tool.
Yeah. And athletes do it all the time, right? They visualize themselves winning the race or scoring the goal,
yeah.
as you say, to create those neural pathways so that when they actually do it, it feels familiar.
Completely. Because yeah. it's like we've done this hundreds of yeah. times in our mind. So back to that point, the mind doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination. It's, yeah. And we might as well put our mind to work on what we want. And we're always going to be thinking, you know, there's going to be worries or what ifs. But it's like when we recognize it, it's like, okay, I'm going to steer it to what I want.
Yeah, because there is a negative bias to the mind, but we have to train the focus, right? So
yeah.
if you're doing that every night before you go to bed and in the morning, then of course you're redirecting your focus, as you say.
Completely.
And you're doing it, you're redirecting your focus towards something you really want.
Yeah. yeah. And yeah. that piece around focus is, as people have probably heard many times before, what we focus on, we feel, what we focus on expands. So it's, yeah, much better use of our time.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tony gives a great example, you know, when you buy a red car or a yellow car, I can't remember what the example is. Suddenly you see yellow cars everywhere, right?
Completely.
So and that's directing your focus, of course. So,
yeah,
clearly you want to start visualizing about what you want and creating that mental rehearsal practice, daily practice. You have
daily
it,
practice.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Bryony, thank you so much for sharing this incredible knowledge and these incredible insights with us today. I thank you on behalf of everyone listening to us. My three big takeaways from what you shared today. First, the importance of walking the talk and being your own first client, especially when you're a coach, right? So there really is a difference in the understanding that you have and also the credibility, I guess, when you coach others through transformations that you've been through yourself. So that's really beautiful. A second one is, and you touched on this many times, that our subconscious controls 95% of our behavior. So you really want to have someone help you on those blind spots because you may not notice them, right? And help you identify them, question them, right? Challenge them and then consciously start building new habits that serve you. I think it was Carl Jung that said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. So I love that one. And finally, this last tool that you mentioned, the importance of mental rehearsal. And I would add the importance of having a daily emotional fitness routine. And that's what this is as well, right? So visualizing yourself successfully achieving what you want or mastering that skill before you actually attempt it in real life. So I think this is a very powerful tool, very simple, mm-hmm. but usually simple are the best tools. So thank you, everyone, for listening to us today, for investing your time to be here with us. And I ask you at home a question. What is it that you are going to do today to start making the changes that you want to see in your life? Are you going to apply the tool Bryony shared? What if you did start to mentally rehearse every night right before you go to sleep? And if you did that every day until our next episode, what would be different, right? Well, give it a try and you see for yourself. I always like to remind everyone, we are not the product of our circumstances. We are absolutely the creators of our lives. So today you can start creating the life that you want. Bryony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Coach Talks, Coaching em Ação, podcast de Madalena Sutcliffe.
Podcast Bauer Media Áudio Portugal.